Hello, and welcome to the third episode of the Design Block Podcast. I'm Eric Hansen. I'm your host. Let's do this. Okay, so for today's episode, we're going to talk about AI tools and how they can help within the work that you do as a designer. And it's not going to be about generating images. Anyway, I thought it might be fun to share what I've done, so let's jump into it. I try to be measured about my use of AI or artificial intelligence. I'm not a fanboy of the image and video generative stuff that you're seeing out there today. I tend to think that most of the GPTs and the LLMs are really just a better mousetrap. I could talk to you how I think AI is basically just, you know, technology and what it's supposed to do for a lot of us in some ways, but that is a conversation for another day. What I do want to talk about today is how I've used AI as a tool to help me as a lone designer in a company that moves fast and just kind of needs to get things done quickly, but still get them done well. I'd like to cover two specific ways that I've used AI for my work, and, you know, none of it had to do with generating images. The first way that I've used it, which kind of feels like the silliest, but it's also like exceptionally helpful, or at least has been, it leverages AI's summarization abilities. The work that I've had to do over the past 18 months has been super hectic, with a lot of context shifting and priority changes, sometimes, well, at least weekly and sometimes even daily. It was making it really difficult to understand, much less like report out to people, everything that I'd been working on and that I had accomplished. I wanted a way to do better with that. So what I decided to try to do was use Notion and their AI for this, because I wanted kind of to be able to have a long-running history, which you can do with ChatGPT if you've subscribed to it, but I didn't. So I used Notion for this one. But pick your poison. It needs to be one that can have, that can go back through the history of things that you've written. The way that I started to do this was, again, in Notion. I just started writing the highlights of my work for the day every day. Sometimes I would do it as I was switching tasks. If I had a couple minutes between things, I would jot some notes down in for the day. Sometimes I would take 10 or 15 minutes at the end of the day to write notes about that day. What this allowed me to do at the end of a week or at the end of a month was simply just ask AI what I'd worked on this week and give me a summary. I could ask it broad questions, just kind of like, what did I accomplish this week? Or I could ask more pointed questions about specific projects that I had kind of highlighted throughout the week, or ones that were just kind of on my mind. The really interesting, useful, and kind of fun part was, like, after doing it for the month of October, and the month of October was kind of my test, was asking it to tell me the top things I worked on for that month. So I got a nice breakdown of all the projects and people I had worked with, decisions that were made, and the results from that work. And it was pretty great. I am notoriously really bad at talking about like my accomplishments, something I'm working on and some of this podcast. So this was really helpful for that too. It gave me a quick breakdown of, I could, you know, kind of push out some of the good things that I had done and gotten accomplished. It was a great way to remind myself of the work and results that I'd done kind of every week and for the month. So the obvious weakness here is the potential for bad or missing data. Like, if you had a bad day and you forgot to write things down, that's a miss, and that can be a hole in what you're doing. But I think it's a worthy habit to start. And the better daily notes you take, the more detailed questions you can ask, and you get super helpful results. Like, I identified team members I worked with so I could ask about specific team members, and it would bring me points about things that we had worked on together. So it was actually really effective. Okay, so again, maybe that was kind of simple and kind of silly, but it was, I found it super valuable. And if you're like me, where it's hard to kind of remember what you've done or hard to talk about yourself, like, this is a great tool to just make that easier. And as people like to say, if you're not gonna sell yourself, who's going to? So it's good for that. All right, on to the second example, which is a bit more complicated, but probably arguably a little bit more valuable as well. to set the stage a bit for what I'm talking about, we as a team were just starting some discovery research. Obviously, we felt like we needed some voice of the customer to get kind of a more holistic problem space perspective. We didn't have a lot of the voice of the customer prior to that, so we needed it. And we needed to try to understand kind of the context and needs around our larger problem space that our product lives in. We needed really as much information as we could get as quickly as possible. Of course, it's 2024, and in today's crazy market, everything has to be done quickly while you're doing 20 other things also quickly. So I was looking really for all the help I could get. And again, I'm the only designer in the organization, so help was needed. The goal was to have 30-minute interviews with 12 participants that kind of sat within our space. Won't go into details with that, but the point is I needed a script to work with these 12 participants for a scheduled 30 minutes. I've written scripts before at other positions, and most of those were for an hour or 45 minutes. The 30-minute part was really important. So sitting down to write the script, staring at that blank page, I jumped into Perplexity to help me kind of craft a format. So asked it to give me a format for an online UX interview. It spat out a good little kind of template that then I was able to go in and pretty quickly modify to what I needed. But being able to start off with that template probably saved me a good hour. So that's the first win. Perplexity AI was a good partner there. And again, while I didn't use exactly what it gave me, I treated that template as a structure. It got me something that I liked as a start, and it was definitely faster than it would have been had I tried to just kind of go alone. For some important details and caveats, the interviews were recorded. I did the interviews with Google Meet, which really doesn't matter. You can use any tool that you want for that. But what was important there was that Google Meet will annotate transcripts with who said what. So as you're going through the meeting and it's doing the transcripts, when that speaker talks, it'll identify in the transcript that speaker and then associate the text to that. So that's important for later on. I'm not sure if those transcripts really qualify as AI. They probably should, right? Like there were texts generated from voice during that. So maybe we should count that. Either way, they were instrumental in being able to leverage AI tools in the rest of the process. So yeah, I'm gonna count them. In addition to the transcripts, I also took notes as I could in the sessions to capture anything that really stood out or was extra notable. These would be important later as just kind of signposts and guardrails to keep the AI tools in check as I got them to help me. Again, through all this, I used Perplexity, but any tools that allow you to upload files, because that part's going to be important, will work. As soon as I would finish the interview, I would get the transcript, which actually wouldn't be as soon as, because sometimes it would take a little while for the transcripts to get to me. But as soon as I got the transcripts, I would go ahead and upload that transcript to Perplexity. I would ask Perplexity to read through the transcript and then summarize main points of the interview. I'd ask it to list any pain points associated with our product domain, which is part of the prompt, and have it provide any product suggestions to address those pain points and anything else that was kind of relevant in the discussion. So I did this 12 different times with 12 different transcripts with the same prompt each time. So having the same structure of the interviews, having the same prompt, made the output of Perplexity was basically the same structure and format every time for every participant. So that made it really easy to quickly kind of scan the output from each interview and start to identify common themes. I can't really oversell the ability to upload a transcript and within a very short amount of time have structured notes that you can share with the team. Now, again, like I said, I had to kind of take my own notes. And as I was going through what Perplexity would put out, there were times where I had to kind of push it one way or another, or it would highlight something that wasn't really a thing, or it would completely miss something that was actually a highlight. So you still had to kind of push and pull on what was going on. And if I hadn't have taken those notes and I had just trusted what AI was doing, that would have put me down the wrong path. So that, keep that in mind. While it's helpful, you still have your piece that you have to do. Now that I had these 12 separate structured notes from output from Perplexity and then like shared up into the team and Confluence and all that good stuff, again, double checked and kept in line with notes I had taken just to make sure that everything was as it should be. I thought, if I have 12 of these things and I could do the summarization and analysis of each of them individually, why couldn't I do them all together and see what came out of it? So that's what I did. I took all of the output from the transcripts, pushed them into one large document because Perplexity wouldn't let me upload more than, I don't know, I think 5, which was dumb, but that's fine. Took all of those documents, pushed them into one doc and uploaded it to Perplexity again. I prompted Perplexity to summarize the main points of all the interviews. And then this is where it got a little cool. I asked it to identify any common points or common pain points that were mentioned by more than 3 people from the 12 interviews, and then cite which people stated those pain points, and then generate possible product ideas for those cited and now attributed points. So now I had structured notes for each of the 12 participants with pain points, and then an additional single document that summarized everything from the 12 interviews and showed cited pain points by the different participants that you could then start to infer some priority to. So issues where 8 participants shared the same issue could or maybe should be a higher priority than an issue that only 3 participants experienced. And being able to call that out so quickly and then even attribute who said it, so then you could go back to the main either transcripts or notes that you had put out before, was super, super helpful. I think I mentioned this a little earlier, but it's in my notes and I want to make sure that I cover it. I would upload the transcripts pretty much immediately after the interviews while everything was still fresh in my head. So I had what was fresh in my mind. I had the notes that I had written down through the interview, because there really were plenty of times where Perplexity missed something important that I would have to force it to consider again. Or it would focus on things that just like were not a big deal because maybe the participant rambled on that particular topic and I didn't do a good enough job of kind of batting them off that. So that was like a longer chunk in the interview than it should have been. So Perplexity would focus on that. So again, I had to do some checks and balances on the output of what it's generating for you. So can't stress that enough. Even with having to go through the checks and the balances on those and work through those prompts, this was work that would have taken me so much longer to do without Perplexity's help. To have structured, accurate notes to share with the team within an hour of each interview was amazing. To be able to show a document that consolidated all of that input, attributed common pain points to a participant that I could then go and dig deeper into that, because it was annotated, I knew which transcript to go to. Like, that was incredibly, incredibly valuable and helpful. Now, I would have totally rather 100% to have worked with a researcher or a research team and not had to do this alone. 100% without a doubt. I've worked with amazing researchers before. I love them. I would have much rather done this with them. But did AI and the tools there enable me to get really good workable results in a time that would have been basically impossible without it? Yes. Also, without a doubt. So AI can make a good partner when you have to run solo and fast, and it can just make a good partner, I think, in general for the work that we're doing today. Wrapping this up, right? Those were the 2 things. There was the summarizing of kind of my daily work and being able to help me with that. And then there was this research task that I used a number of different kind of AI techniques and tools to help me produce usable results for the team that would get us what we needed for our users. Those are those 2 cases. What I want to emphasize from this work here, is I never had AI generate something 100% from scratch. My prompts always had data or input to start with, like a document or the transcripts. I also never used the first thing it gave me. It was a back and forth of what it generated, and then having to kind of keep the guardrails on and stop the AI hallucination that happens, which did happen a couple times. It came up with some crazy stuff once or twice. So the point of that is that AI was an extension of my skills and my voice, not a replacement of them. AI was a partner, not someone who could come in. I said someone, that's dumb. Not something that could come in and do this without me kind of steering, right? And in my mind, that's the only right way to work with AI. And again, that's just by working with it, not just prompting it, taking what it gives you and running with it, thinking it's correct. I think those of us that have spent some time understand that that's just, it's going to mess up and we have to stay on top of it. So I'll get off the check AI's work soapbox here. Again, the tools were incredibly helpful. I accomplished some things there that would have been very hard and would have taken much longer to do without AI's help. And the other part of that is that because I was able to get that research done so quickly, it gave me time back to be able to do the design work that, you know, we have to do as designers. So anyway, I thought maybe those tips would help. So that's it. Those are the two ways that I wanted to share about where I've used AI as the only designer in a company to save time and do some great valuable work for the team and the projects. So my question to you now is, how have you leveraged AI in your work? Where has it given you time back or been able to make things easier or faster or better for you? If you have something you want to share, you can find me on Instagram or Threads at Eric P. Hansen, and we can talk about it there. I'd be super curious to hear how you've leveraged these tools to do cool stuff. That is going to wrap up our episode for today. I hope you enjoyed learning about a couple ways that I use AI to do my work. If you did find this helpful or interesting, I would like to ask you a favor. If you have not subscribed to the podcast, please do on whichever podcast platform you choose. Also, if you could share this with a friend that might think it was helpful, shoot this over to them and get them listening, and we'll keep growing this little community we have. Again, thanks. I appreciate it. And until next episode, keep making cool stuff.